of Department of Justice Legislative Development, and these are Mr. Matati from Legal Aid South Africa and Ms. Rainsburg from the local Legal Aid South Africa. Madam Chair, can I proceed? You may proceed, thanks. Thank you. The Legal Aid South Africa Act came into operation on 1 March 2015. It repealed the outdated Legal Aid Act. The policies and procedures for the provision of legal aid are currently set out in the Legal Aid Guide. As a transitional agreement arrangement, the new Act provides that the existing Legal Aid Guide remains in force until it is withdrawn and replaced by regulations and the Legal Aid Manual. In terms of the new Act, the first regulations and Legal Aid Manual must be made and published within 24 months of the commencement of the Act. That would have been 1 March 2017, but this deadline was not met due to several administrative issues, and now Parliament is being approached for consideration and approval of the regulations. Madam Chair, if I could just get your guidance, please. This committee was briefed on these regulations informally during March, and questions were given and responded to, and now the Minister submitted it in terms of Section 23 of the Act formally for consideration and approval. So if I could get your guidance on to, into how many detail you would want me to make this briefing.
Indeed, this has been presented before us previously, members. I think what we could do is just to request you to highlight areas that were actually expressed as areas of concern by members, like, for example, the whole issue of financially supporting civil litigation, and the issue of women. Maybe if some, if members have got some other areas that they please put say it on the mic.
Madam Chair, you will remember the it's always raised the issue of assistance to land claimants.
Yes. I think this guides you as to the focus for your presentation now. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The current regulation is to a great extent the same as the guide that was approved by Parliament in 2015. And it, the administrative arrangements will be set out in the manual that will come into operation simultaneously. The civil matters are set out in regulation 9, and it is it provides that legal aid may grant legal aid for a civil matter if there is a good prospect for success and good prospect for enforcement of the court order and if there's the necessary resources available, and Legal Aid South Africa requests a written merit report in most of these matters. And then the land claims courts of land claim matters are set out in Regulation 18, and it says that legal aid may be granted to persons affected by the Land Reform Act, the Extension of Security Tenure Act, the Prevention of Illegal Occupation and Eviction from Land Act, provided that the granting of legal aid is subject to the making available of funds by the relevant government department. Perhaps my colleagues from Legal Aid South Africa can elaborate on how that is managed in practice, but the regulations do provide for the protection in these types of matters. And then regarding women, specifically divorce and family law cases are provided for the regulation 15, and it provides that it is granted for the bringing of a divorce action in a regional division And then also factors that are taken into consideration is cost effectiveness, logistical factors, and the interest of the legal aid applicant. And yes, it is provided for there. So I suppose those, and also Regulation 13 provides for maintenance matters, where legal aid can be provided for. That is also to the protection.
One three.
Yes. It is in a maintenance case, a domestic violence case, or a matter brought in terms of Protection of Harassment Act, legal aid may grant legal aid for an initial consultation and the procedure that she can follow. And yes, provided that the legal aid may be granted to a person over 60 years of age in a domestic violence matter where it is required to protect that person. Madam Chair, that is the short and long. I can elaborate if there's a request for that.
Thank you very much. When it comes to that clause number 13 on maintenance, I think here the argument that was actually put forward is that in some of the maintenance cases there will be women who cannot afford, who've got maybe for example a man that can afford it, it is not actually interested in paying maintenance. If in the event the matter is taken to court and the man has got legal representation should actually also be provided to the woman. And on clause 15, it's clause 9 on civil matters. If you look at 9.3c, it says domestic violence matters to protect the best interest of the child. I actually think that it's the best interest of women and children. On 9.3c, yes. The best interest of women and children.
Madam Chair, you want the insertion there, the best interest of a woman and a child.
Yes,
that's
right.
Or something like that.
Chair, can I just ask as a matter of process, Chair? Sorry, Chair. Chairperson. Just as a matter of process, isn't it accept or reject? Are we able to amend the res? I don't think so. We need guidance in that regard. I'm totally supportive of your suggested amendment, but I'm not sure whether we are able to suggest when it comes to regulation. We might need just to consider that change.
Let me just consult you. Domestic where we have to decide. Do we take what is being presented to us as is, or we simply just reject and then they'll come back again? We find the areas of concern and then come back and present again.
Through you, Chair, can I attempt to perhaps respond to some of the concerns that you raised?
Yes.
Perhaps starting with the regulation 13 itself. Regulation 13, if you look at the regulation, well, insofar as it relates to the other party in a maintenance matter who may have funds and bring on a legal representative, that concern is addressed when you look at the regulation 13, sub-regulation 2B. Where it says legal aid, regulation 13, sub-regulation 2 says legal aid may be granted for legal representation in a court hearing for matters referred to in sub-regulation 1 if, then I go to B, the opposing party is represented by a legal practitioner. So that answers the question of if one party is bringing a legal representative, obviously the other party also is will qualify for legal representation. And then further, you in addressing that, I take a point, Chair, when you on regulation 9, I think it is, where it would be preferable to specifically perhaps refer to women and a child. I just want to, though, in a generic spirit, say that as an organization, and you'd also see also in our mission that women in general are considered as vulnerable group. So in our operations, the nature of our operations, they are also considered as vulnerable and requiring assistance from them. So as a way of a norm, they are prioritized. So I was wanting to suggest, if it were possible, to say maybe rather than having to reapproach the committee for changing a few clauses, that they have simply accepted that the mission and generally in overall, when you look at the regulations, they do consider, they do address the interests of women and children in particular.
Thank you for clarifying 13. Although I would be very concerned about the top part which has been structured, but indeed the clause that you're actually making reference to then caters for my concern. I still want to believe that if you just regard women as part of the vulnerable groups, it then therefore means that clause 9.3c then automatically covers women. Unless you take it as a topographical error in women and child. Yes.
Yes, I just want some clarification. There's this clause that's always coming up. If there is a prospect of success, as you know that in any litigation, nobody knows the prospect of success unless you can think that it's a prospect of success. Otherwise, there will be no need for a lawyer. if anybody would know the prospect. I am maybe prima facie, but I have a problem on that. I wish you could probably explain what criteria you use for the prospect of success. I know it seems very easy for any lawyer to say no, you are not likely to succeed, and so on. But I want to refer you to 13. B, which you have just read, your opposing party is represented by a legal practitioner. As you understand that people might particularly who are illiterate people, they don't know their rights at all. Now, here am I, maybe an attorney or somebody, and or an ordinary person who is knowledgeable, who's reading all these cases that are written in English and all, and the rights. And against a child or a woman who is illiterate. I'm not represented by a legal practitioner. And so he has to come before with me. Why particularly prefer, why don't you put a discretion? Because if you say, if there's no legal precedent, you are assuming that these people are on equal par, they're on par in the knowledge. This what is the assumption, I think, here. I would think that if that means, I wouldn't be happy to have that clause put in there. But anyway, unless you give me an explanation on that one. The second one is 3A. You are saying that person can stop for 12 months. The woman can suffer for 12 months and the children, and before you can give legal aid. Legally aged person has been unable to seek or execute maintenance order for a period of 12 months due to failure by the system. In other words, the period of 12 months, I think, is too long. Is it possible that you can make it shorter? As much as possible. I would call.
I think what we need to bear in mind is that we need, as we discuss this, we need to discuss it, understanding that it's either we approve or we reject, so that we don't frustrate ourselves in terms of approach that we're taking in engaging on this. The earlier concern has been addressed, and now here is another concern. And I don't know whether you can live with the 12 months in the meantime, but so that we effect the regulations in the meantime, because this is what we need to see today, to have ability to effect the regulations in the meantime, because there's long enough standing.
Am I to understand that you are saying, as Swart has said, there's nothing we do, simple, even if we see something that we request that they be changed, we just say we approve. I mean, when you say we live for a while, for how long? For a while, what do you mean by for a while?
What I said is that if you can live with it, in the meantime, to say that it has actually managed to address the situation, even if maybe not completely the way you may actually wish to. Do you want to comment about it, legally, South Africa?
Sorry, if I can just point out here that the Act provides that there was a 2-year period in which the guide should have been replaced by regulations and the manual. That 2-year period has passed now. So we are basically, there is a problem now, although we have a senior advocate's opinion that the guide still goes on until it is replaced. But if I could make a suggestion, if we could just get the first regulations and manual promulgated as soon as possible, it can always be amended immediately if necessary. But the current regulations reflect the guide as it stands at the moment. So it is, and that guide was approved by Parliament in 2015. So if I could just make a suggestion as to the timelines.
Yes, I think there's another issue we maybe as a committee should reflect upon, and that is that if the Act says the Minister must table it in Parliament for approval, and then we must ask ourselves the question, or let me phrase it this way, I think we must guard as Parliament against the situation where we want to encroach on a terrain which really falls within the domain of legal aid in terms of practical arrangement of affairs. So what I want to say is I think our duty is ultimately to look at the regulations, and if the regulations, I mean, you're now referred to, for example, just clarifying the issue of whether women are to be seen as part of the vulnerable group. And that's the type of thing we should look at in my view. If other things which is really practical arrangements, I don't think is within in our duty now to get involved with. If you understand what I'm saying. So I think we must look at these regulations holistically. And if there's nothing that, for example, transgresses upon constitutional principles like the separation of powers, for example. I think that the reason why we say regulations must come to Parliament, for example, to scrutinise that the Minister in the regulations are not trying to usurp the powers of Parliament and sidestep the legislature in giving himself powers to, for example, appoint the board unilaterally and that type of thing. But if it goes towards practical things, you know, one man kisses his wife this way, and another man that way. It's not really
right. I actually agree with you for expediency, but anything that is brought before Parliament should be such that Parliament members responsible for it should manage to engage on it and interrogate it. But for now, we understand that the timelines are overdue and things like that. And indeed, this what we are actually saying is it's something we can live with. It's not really something that violates the Constitution. It's just about administrative procedures. Imperfect as it is, because of the fact that we don't want to frustrate this process, what I'm going to recommend is that we approve the regulations today. And what LASA has actually said to us, they said these regulations can be amended. What we are requesting you today is all of what has been expressed as concerns this morning needs to be amended with immediate effect. So may I then therefore request that members move for adoption of these regulations.
A little explanation as to what is meant by with immediate. Secondly, I just wanted to find out a clarification. Do you think that after we have adopted it, can we raise some issues? I look at 17.2, legal aid may not be granted for a claim, lodgement, and investigation under the Restitution of Land Rights Act. While it says it may make funds available to fund the matter, legal matter, you know, I find some contradiction in here. All I'm asking is two things. What is meant by immediate? And secondly, and how immediate what you talk about. Secondly, are you saying that the issues that you have raised, how you say they're going to be changed, or they're still going to be brought back to us and say, now, the concern you had has been dealt with in this manner or that manner. I just want some clarification on this matter.
Okay, immediate, let's give it time frame. In the next 6 months, we want to see amendments effected. And then, of course, Honorable Mpumlana has just added an additional concern that I take it to have actually also noted as part of what is being recommended should be amended moving forward. We are at the stage now where we are to adopt. Can we move for adoption, members? Thank you, Honorable Bongo, seconded by Honorable Swart. Thanks. The regulations are hereby adopted. Thank you very much. That brings us to the end of business. Thank you, Lassa, for coming to present before us. Members, we will be meeting again at 2 o'clock. What is the venue? Same venue. Yes, thank you. And there's lunch downstairs. Let's do it, Max.
What is the...